Okay, so we're at Daf Mem Beis tonight. So I'll begin with the Mishnah and then Beis Mem Aleph. Okay, so the Mishnah says, "Matnitim hamudar na mechavero." Now, the person hamudar na mechavero means you have Reuben and Shimon. This hamudar chavero could be one of two ways: either Reuben makes an eder that he's not going to get enough for Shimon, or Shimon makes an eder that Reuben cannot get enough from his property. So I'm going to say the Shimon way. So Shimon makes an eder that Reuben cannot get any hana from him. So Amudar Nami Chaveiro, Lifnei Shviyat. So if.
Don't see you.
Okay, I'm sorry. You don't hear me? All right, one second.
No, we don't see you.
Oh, you don't see me? Okay, let me see what I could do here. One second. Do you see me now? Now? Oh, I see what it is. Okay, wait. I need my my IT guy. Can you help me? The thing got flipped over. One second. It's, in other words, like it's like showing. I don't want to, if I don't have to, in other words, I want to. Yeah, it could be like this. Okay, good work. Okay, now everybody's good?
Now we see you, and I saw.
Okay, all right, got to mute everybody now. Okay. Okay. Okay, so again, so we have Reuben and Shimon. So Shimon makes a neder that Reuben can't get hana from him. And Lifnei Shviyat, he makes this neder before the Shemitah year. So he know you read the Tok Sadehu. So now it's before Shemitah, so Reuven cannot go to Shimon's field because that's reset a regal, and walking one's field is getting hana from him. He says, Ve'enochel men hanotot, nor can he eat from, he can't go into the field, he's not going to get anything in the field, but he can't even have from the fruits that are hanging over the border of the field. He can't have that either. Again, he's mudar hana from Shimon. Then the Mishnah says, and there'll be a question how to learn this, but I'm learning it this way. Uveshviyat, if on the other hand, Shimon makes the nether in the Shemitah year, you know you're ready to Sadehu, so Reuven still cannot go into Shimon's field. Now, this seems a little puzzling because we know that in the Shemitah year, everything is hefker. So why can Reuven not go to Shimon's field since everything is hefker? So we don't know this yet, but the Gemara is going to say they give two pshatim. Either that since there's a way that the trees are standing on the border of the field and there's a way to access the trees without entering the field, he should do that. Or the second reason, which we discussed on Shabbos, which was from Shimon al-Yakim, Zir Shimon Yashav Amida. We're afraid that he'll overstay his visit in the field. And I'll explain this in a minute. Okay. Ubeshviyat, I know you're ready to Sadehu, Avalokhelhu, and I'm in Kyoto Notot, or the Baka has been a Notot. So in the Shemitah year, he, Reuven, cannot go into Shimon's field for the reason we just said, that either there's a way for him to benefit from the field without going into the field, or we're afraid that if he goes into the field, he'll overstay his visit, which is no heter for that. But he has a heter to eat from the fruit that is hanging over the borders that he could do. So this touches on a topic that we had discussed a little bit. There's a piece on the Moro Daf Yomi. When we talk about the fields, things being hefker in the Shemitah year, it's not using hefker in the normal way we use hefker. Normally we say hefker, it's like totally ownerless. Here, the hefker we speak out shviyad is a limited hefker. It's just hefker, whatever you need to get access to the pay road. He says, let's say a person, so he doesn't have permission to like make shortcuts with the property. Let's say Shemitah year. Can I make a shortcut through my friend's property? No, nothing to do with anything. And I can't even go in there to collect fruit if I could collect the fruit without going into the property. Even if collecting in the field is a little bit easier. And then after the person collects the fruit, he can't hang around in the property. He's got to scram right away. So that's the idea. So the line in the Ron which they quote is Shatora lo fkir l'sadeh alakeid perotah. Her is only mafkir l'sadeh for the purpose of collecting the fruit. So if it's a Shemitah year and Shimon makes the neder, so then we understand that Reuven cannot enter the property because either if there's a way to collect the fruit without entering the property, and that's what the Mishnah is speaking about according to Ula, then he's obligated to do it that way. Or in the alternative, the Mishnah is teaching me that he can't enter the property because we're afraid this is Xeri Drabanan. In other words, technically to collect the fruit, he would be able to enter the property, but then once he collects the fruit, he's got to leave. He can't stay around there anymore because he's mudar hana. But Zixir Durabanan, we're afraid he's going to overstay his visit, so he can't enter the property. All right? Now, let me just do a few more lines, and then we'll summarize, we'll go on, okay? So now the Mishnah says a different case. Nadar himenu ma'akal lefnei shviyit. Let's say Shimon makes a different type of neder. He doesn't say that Reuven is prohibited from getting any hana from him. He says Reuven is getting prohibited from getting any hana from food from him. He says, so nadar himenu ma'akal lefnei shviyit, and he made the neder before the shviyit year. Yorei the tok sadehu. So then Reuven could go into Shimon's field, because going into the field, that's Jerisa de Regel, but that's not a food item. He says, but eino ochel mena peirot, but he can't have from the peirot. But in the Shemitah year, he's yorei ba'ochel. Then he could go in and he can eat. So he can go into the field because he's only mudar from the ma'achal, and then the ma'achal is hefker, so he's in good shape. Let me just do a few lines to the Ran, and then we'll see where we go. So the top line of the Ran. And he will be ready to talk today. The mudar asur apu drisa de regal. The malayal mudar is asur drisa de regal. Veino okel men a noto, men a pera noto at all aderas lukusada. We have. Trilo you ready to talk today. We be shvina darli ready to live more parts. Okay, I think we're good with this part so far. All right. So let's just summarize again what we learned in the Mishnah. We'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay. So again, our topic is people who are mudar hana from each other. So if Shimon makes a neder, the Reuven cannot get any hana from him, and he makes the neder before Shemitah, so then Reuven cannot go into Shimon's field. Obviously, that's three set of regel that would be getting hana, and he can't eat even from the fruit that's hanging over the border because he'd be getting hana from as well. Then the Mishnah says another case, Uba Shviyat. If Shimon makes the neder in the Shemitah year, then Reuven can't go to the field, and we said he can't go to the field because one of two reasons, which the Gemara is going to explain, that either were that he could have access to the fruit without going to the field, so he can't go into the field because, you know, in addition, the heter for Shemitah anyway is going to the field if it's only if you have no other way to get it, but in addition to which he's mudar hana, or it's because we're afraid, because they were like you were saying, like Rev Shimon Yakim says, we're afraid that he'll stay longer than he should. So treat any red tosadeu, but he could eat from the fruit that's overhanging the border that he could do in the Shemitah year. Then we had a different case in Seif the Mishnah, which we're really not going to focus in the Gemara about, is Nadar Himenu Ma'achal Lefnei Shviyat. If Shimon made a different type of neder, that Reuven can't get enough from his food before Shemitah, so then he could go to the field, there's no asu with that, but he can't eat from the payroll. In the Shemitah year, he could go to the field and eat from the payroll. Okay, who's had questions, comments, thoughts, and anything we did so far? Who?
Not in that.
Who's
I? I'm not the owner. When I come into your
field, No, for a double reason, no. One is we said that the hefker is only a limited hefker, but B, it's a fruit-bearing tree. Anyone that needs to cut down a fruit-bearing tree, from everyone. But in addition to which, the hefker is not a hefker for everything. A limitation, you just have a right to go in and collect the fruit. That's all
get
you
the
have.
Fruit. I can't take the
you can't do anything else. You can't even stay in the property more. Like, they'll go in, get the fruit, and leave. That's all you have the right to do. Okay? Everybody good? Okay, let's go on in the Gemara. Now, they're hefker to getting the access to the fruit, right? So now, Rabbi Shmuel de Amri Karvayu, now again, in the Mishnah, We spoke about two cases. One where he made the neder before the Shemitah year. One where he made the neder in the Shemitah year. What we didn't address directly is, what if Shimon makes the neder before the Shemitah year and now Shemitah comes around? What are the rights and remedies of the parties at that point in time? Is it the same or is it different? We'll see in a minute. So Rabbi Shmuel D'Amri Tarvayu, Nechasim Eilu Alecha. There's a question what the right girsa is, but I'm reading it the way we have it in our Gemara. If Shimon says to Reuven, Nechasim Eilu Alecha, means my property is prohibited to you, Lefnei Shviyat, and he made the neder before Shemitah. So then he can't go to the, this is the same as our mission, that part's the same as the mission. He can't go to the field, and he can't take the fruit that's even, you know, overhanging the borders of the field, outside the field. Then, here's the key line, though, in Rabbi Shmuel, Avol Pi Shviyat. So Rav and Shmuel hold that if a person makes a neder before the Shemitah year, then even if the Shemitah year now comes along, the prohibitions remain in full force and effect. So it means that even though it's a Shemitah year, he can't go into the field and he can't eat from the fruit. Even if it's overhanging the border, he can't eat from it. So he says here, being b'shviat nadar, but if Shimon took the neder in the Shemitah year, in Yor Tosadehu, he can't go to the field of a lokel min a noto, but he could eat from the noto. So here, in other words, Rav and Shmuel are learning our Mishnah this way. In other words, Rav and Shmuel learning the Mishnah the way I learned it, but with this proviso. The first two lines of the Mishnah teach me that Shimon made a neder, and Shimon makes a neder before the Shemitah year, but the prohibitions remain in full force and effect when the Shemitah year rolls around. And then the Mishnah has Uvashvid is introducing a separate halacha, that if he makes the neder in the Shemitah year, then other dinim apply. Okay, that's the way Rav and Shmuel learn the Mishnah. We'll see in a minute what principle is involved. Then we'll try to see. Rav Yoch back in the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakish Tamri Tavayu, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish both say, now here they give a different case, and we'll speak about this, that if Shimon says, Nechasai Alecha, you're prohibited in my property. Nechasai Alecha, Lefnei Shviyit, and he makes his neder before the Shemitah year, and you're the Toksadeyu, Menochel Menonoto. So he can't go into the field, he can't take from the fruit that's overhanging the field outside, but then, if now the Shemitah year rolls around, Eino Yoreh L'Tosadehu, he can't go into the field, Aval Ochelhu Et Anoto, he could eat from the fruit. So the Gemara says, Lein Bo HaKmitlgi. So what is the point? What is the point of? So it means like this. Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they understand the Mishnah differently than the way I said it. In other words, they understand on the third line, Uvashviyit is not introducing a new case where he's making the neder in the Shemitah year. The third line of the Mishnah is saying that in the Shemitah year, this will be the halakha. You understand it? So again, in the Mishnah we learned that it was Mudar Anami Chavero, so he can't go to the field, can't eat the fruit. And then we didn't say explicitly what happens to the Shemitah year, but the way Rabbi Yochanan and Fox learned it, Uvashviyit, that when he gets to the Shemitah year, he can't go to the field, but he could eat from the fruit. That's where he could eat from the fruit that's overhanging the field. That's what he's learning. All right, let me just do a few more lines and we'll summarize, okay? So the Gemara says, Lein b'ha k'miflagi. Should we say the point of dispute between Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish is as follows? Rav Shmuel Sabri, Adam Oser Dabar Shabashuto, Apilu Shetseim Rashuto. That Rav and Shmuel hold that a person can aser an item even when he no longer possesses the item. So in other words, I create an Easter on the fruit and everything in my field. In other words, I person makes an edder, you can't get any benefit from any of my property. So even though now the Shemitah year rolls around, and now it's not my property in a way, but I asered it before the Shemitah year, so I have a koach to asher something even later on. That's the way Rav and Shmuel are going to learn. We'll see in a minute. That's the way Rav and Shmuel learn. He says, for Rabbi Yochanan, we're around 6 lines from the bottom, Amen Beza Manala Yaakov, okay? So he says, for Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish Savri, in Adam Osir Devar Shirashuto, Lashiv Seymir Rashuto. Rabbi Yochanan, Reish Lakish told that once it leaves your Rashus, all bets are off. Okay, let's go slow. Let's try to digest what we just learned. And we'll do a little review here for Yaakov, okay? Let's all focus. It's complicated. 42a, page 83. Okay, got it? Okay. So we're discussing where you have two people. One is Mudar Hana from somebody else. Like, that's like all over the Masechta. So Shimon makes a neder that Reuven cannot get any Hana from him. So the way Rav and Shmuel understand the Mishnah, it means that Reuven, if it's before Shemitah year, and they make this neder before the Shemitah year, so Shimon makes the neder before Shemitah year, so then Reuven cannot go on to Shimon's property. It's 3 set of regel, that's obviously prohibited. And Shimon cannot even take from the fruit that overhangs the property. Now, the way the way that Rav and Shmuel understand it, even if then Shemitah rolls around, the same halacha would pertain. So now, in other words, he makes the neder before the Shemitah year. Now the Shemitah year rolls around. So Rav and Shmuel hold, there's no difference in the Shemitah year. Even in the Shemitah year, Reuven still can't go onto Shimon's property, and Reuven still can't even take the fruit that's overhanging the property over the borders. So we think the pshat is that Rav and Shmuel hold that a person can, you see with me, Josh, that a person can aser his chefza even when it's not in his rishus anymore. In other words, if I aser my chefza when it's in my rishus, then the Easter will carry over even though it's no longer in my rishus. In other words, in Shemitah year, just a minute, Shemitah year, it's not in my rishus. But I created the Easter before it left my rishus. So that Easter carries along with the chefza. Now, when we talk about Easter, one difficulty is the fruit that were not existing in the world, right? That's the little difficulty, or one of the difficulties in this Gemara. The fruit doesn't exist. So how could Shimon ask the fruit if the fruit does not yet stab Arshul Babi Olam? So they quoted in the Masifta and the Arshul, they both quoted from the Kilis Yaakov, the stipler. He wants to say that since the property exists and the tree exists, so it carries over to the fruit. It carries over to the fruit. Okay, so that's what Rav and Shmuel say. But Rav and Shmuel will also say that if Shimon makes the neder in the Shemitah year, so then it's not in his possession anymore. Then under those circumstances, so Reuven still cannot go onto Shimon's property, and we discussed this several times already. He can't go onto property because if he can have access to the fruit from outside the property, he's obligated to do that, and here he's Mudar Hana, or he can't go onto the property because it's Xavier Drabanan. We're afraid he'll stay too long on the property and get, you know, illicit hana from it. But if the fruit are hanging over, he can get the fruit. Okay, that's the way Rav and Shmuel learned the Mishnah. Okay? And then Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they learn the Mishnah differently. They learn that if a person makes an eder, that the way they have it is that Shimon says, Nechasai Alecha, my property is prohibited to you. So if he makes an eder, you still with me, Yosef? If he makes an eder before the Shemitah year, so then everybody agrees on the halacha that Reuven can't go into the property and take the fruit. But then they hold when Shemitah rolls around, now it's a whole different halacha. He can't go into the property, but he could eat from the fruit that's overlapping the property. So we think that the point of dispute, we think, between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish is, does a person have a koach to ask for something even after, in other words, he creates the Easter before it leaves his rishus. Does that Easter carry over even after it's left his rishus? That's what we think. So Rav and Shmuel hold, if the Easter is created before it leaves my rishus, i.e. before Shemitah, so it carries over even to Shemitah. Even though you have a Ledin with Shemitah, it still carries over. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, absolutely not. It's dead in the water. That's what we think. That's what we think. Okay, who's got questions? Come, so what do you got, Josh? We've said this several times. In other words, either in the Gemara we got into like a little nitty gritty, but according to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, it sounds like Rav and Rabbi Yochanan learn that either Shimon says Nechasim Elu Alecha, that my property is prohibited to you, or he says these properties are prohibited to you, but they would hold the same we think in the Havamina, even if he would say my property is prohibited to you. Okay, that's what we think. Okay, and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, even if you say my property is prohibited to you, and we think that they would say the same thing if the property is prohibited to you. That's what we think. Okay, any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, I'm going to move on. Scream. I can hardly hear you. It sounds like a mouse squeaking.
What is bothering me since the beginning of the Masechet is, how can somebody make a neder that he's not in control of or over somebody else's ability? Yes. So, for example,
I got it. Listen, okay. We discussed this before in the Masechta. It means just like I can have property and I can declare the property to be hekdesh, that it gets a different status, so too a person with his property can declare that his property is subject to a neder that prevents somebody else from getting hana from it. Just like I declare, if somebody declares property hekdesh, so you can't get hana from it because hekdesh. So too, a person can declare that in this case, Shimon can declare that Reuven cannot get hana from his property. That's the way it works.
I understand hekdesh is a different situation.
Well, the Gemara doesn't think it's such a different situation. Gemara made a sushtel, a connection between hekdesh and nedarim. The Gemara connected both of them together.
But what would stop Reuven from doing what he wants anyway, to the extent that he can, that he can take overhanging root?
It means, like, what prevents somebody from eating treifas or vimachal Shabbos? If Reuven is from, he'll observe it. If he's not from, he won't. But that's what it means. If he's a shomer Torah mitzvot, so he's going to observe the prohibitions that are in full force and effect. All right?
Well, it's all right, but it's not great. Okay.
All right. Do you understand what I said?
Yes, I understand what you said.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
makes
fine.
No sense.
Okay. No. What doesn't make sense, what doesn't make sense, Malcolm?
The concept that you could declare your property not permitted to somebody when it's not under your control, like the
overhanging roof. The property is under your control, but now we're discussing a case in the Gemara when you declared the neder, it was under your control, and now the status seems to have changed. So does it carry over? Right. That's what we're discussing. Okay, I'm going to move on unless anybody has more questions.
The follow-up to her.
Okay,
question.
Wait. Stop. Wait. What? Yeah. Yeah.
For example, it used to be like by a korban, you would say, this is forbidden to me.
Like a korban, right. So he could say that as well. He could say, if he chooses, he could say, my property is prohibited to you, like a korban. He could say that. That's one way he could say it. Okay. So Fern, you wanted to say something?
Yes. In the example where you say, hopefully both people are from and they'll observe the neder, if Shimon says that this is, you know, it's konam to Shimon, if Shimon says it's konam to Reuven and Reuven does not observe this, who has the aveira?
Reuven. Okay, now I have to move on. Now, let's take a look back at the Gemara. Now, okay, so that's what we think. Okay, now we're six lines from the bottom. I'm in Beis Amin Aleph. You know, when there's also more Ron, I thought I would do a little bit. All right, so let me just keep moving. You know, I thought I had so much time with this Gemara, but I see it's taking time. Okay, so the Gemara says the Tisbara. Does that make sense, what we just said? So the way we explain the machloket up till now, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish hold that if a person creates the Isur when the item's in his Rishus, then it does not carry over. It terminates when it leaves his Rishus. So the Gemara says, does anybody hold that way? In other words, everybody we mentioned, Rab and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, all Amorai. Does anybody hold that way? He says, Now the Gemara has two counter arguments. If that were true, so if it would be true that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold that the prohibition cannot carry over, so there are two cases that we were discussing. So Rav and Shmuel mentioned that nechasim elu alecha. These properties are prohibited to you. And Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said, Nechasai, my property is prohibited to you. But if it's true, now, of the two of them, which is easier to understand that it would terminate when it leaves your possession? So Nechasai is much easier. In other words, if I say my property is prohibited to you, so when it's not my property anymore, then I would think that it's terminated. But if I would say Nechasim, these properties are prohibited, so then I would think maybe it would carry over. But we're saying that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish hold that whether I say nechasai or nechasim, it terminates once it leaves my rishus. That's what we're saying. So if that's true, what I just said, then I would expect Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish to give the example of nechasim elu and not nechasai. There was koach de hetera adif. They had that idea in the Masipta, like they were putting the safer. But in other words, like you teach the bigger chiddush. So what's the bigger chiddush for Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish? The bigger chiddush is when the person says, Nechasim Elu are prohibited to you, and then when he leaves his Rishus, it terminates. That's the Bir Chiddush. So if it were true what we were saying, we would expect them to give that example. But since they don't give that example, that leaves us in our mind thinking that if he would say the Chasim Elu, that the prohibition would continue on, even though it leaves the Rishos. That's what we think. So again, four lines to the bottom. If he gave it a Chasim Elu, the Chosh came in a Chasai. If he would teach me that, but a Chasim Elu, it terminates when it leaves the Rishos, so I'd say certainly Ben Achasai terminates. The two, in addition to which the Gemara asks, Hadanan, Hatanan. We learn the Mishnah later on, our Masechta, on Mem Zayin, 5 days from now. The Adam Oser Devar Shebeshuto Shesemir Shuto, that a person indeed has the Koach to Oser something, even after it leaves his Rishos. Didnan, because we learn in the Mishnah, HaOmer Livno, if a person says to his son, Konam Shatanen Eli. Obviously, not having a great father-son relationship, the father says to the son, my property is konam, like it should be like a korban, prohibited to you, that you cannot benefit from my property. Notwithstanding that, the Tana of the Mishnah says, mate, yirashenu. If the father dies, the son inherits the, son, the father. In other words, if I just say konam shatanen eli, so it means like when I'm around, you can't benefit from mine. The person, the father's not around anymore, so yirashenu. But if the father says b'chayav v'moto, if the father spells everything out like Rachel b'chakana, that you're prohibiting getting any hana from my property both during my life and after my death, turn page on the top line, imate lo yirashenu. So the Tana Mishnah says, if the father dies, the son doesn't yarshen him, but it really means that he'll yarshen him, but he can't benefit from the property. In other words, he'll have the property, but he can't in any way benefit from the property. So we see Smukrach that indeed a person could impact the property even after it leaves his rishos. That's irrebuttable, that a person can ask for property even when it leaves his rishos. So that being the case, so what do Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish hold? So now the Gemara takes a fallback position. It's a little bit like law when you're arguing like in a case, you know, before an appellate court, you have your position and then you have your fallback position. If they don't take this argument, we'll go this way. That's this way. So the Gemara says on the top line, Shani Hako, the Tamale Bechayav Moto. So the Gemara says that everybody will have to concede that if the person spells out specifically that, you know, these Yisurim are going to take place even after it leaves my Rishus, without a question, it does carry on. Right. So we said in the Mishnah, so Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is going to have to hold on to that. But nevertheless, so that we've been able to dispose of. But we think though, when it comes to Mechasim Elu, we think that Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish indeed will hold that it will terminate when it leaves the Rishos, in other words, leaves the person's Rishos. So he says, the Chasim Elu, so unless I spell out, you know, this Easter will be in effect, even if we have to realize my Rishos, so it will terminate. That's what we think. So that being the case, so the second question, we've been able to deflect. The second question, what did it do with the Mishnah? So everybody holds from that Mishnah. But Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish will say, it's only when, you know, Barachel B'Takta, you spell it everything. But otherwise, in Achinami, it would terminate when it leaves Rishos. One second, 2 minutes. He says, second line. He says, Mikoma kom kasha. But we still have difficulty. Why then do Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish give the example of Nechasai instead of Nechasim Elu? If indeed they hold that whether I say Nechasai or Nechasim Elu, it terminates when it leaves my Rishus, why did the first question is still in place? So now the Gemara makes a sea change on line two. Hello, the Nechasim Elu. So now the Gemara says, when it comes to Nechasim Elu, if a person says Nechasim Elu, everybody agrees that that the prohibition does remain in effect even after it leaves the Rishos. So everybody agrees on Nechasim Elu. So even Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish will concede if he says Nechasim Elu, not the way we said before. Nechasim Elu, everybody agrees that it will carry through. The prohibition will carry through. He says, Ki pligi. But we think the machloket between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is b'nechasai. When if the person says, my property, Rav and Shmuel Savri, lo shanan nechasim elu, lo shanan nechasai, adam oser. So Rav and Shmuel hold, doesn't make a difference. It's a zel bazach, whether I say nechasim elu or nechasai. and the prohibition will carry through. The prohibition will carry through. He says, Rabbi Yochanan Rav Lakish Sabri, Nechasim Elu Adam Oseir. So Rabbi Yochanan Rav Lakish told that by saying Nechasim Elu, then the prohibition will carry on. But Nechasai Ein Adam Oseir. By saying Nechasai, then that prohibition, because it's not Nechasai anymore, so it's going to terminate. Okay, let's just summarize and we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts, okay? So, we started off with the Mishnah, and then we had a machlok between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, and between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. So we think right now that Rav and Shmuel, they hold that whether a person says Nechasai or Nechasim Elu will be prohibited to you, so that carries through from the non-Shemitah year to the Shemitah year. The prohibition will carry through, according to Rav and Shmuel. And then Rav and Shmuel we'll carry through. Okay, and whereas according to Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish, they hold the prohibition will only carry through if a person says Nechasim Elu. But a person says Nechasai, that's a telltale sign that he only intends to prohibit. So, and they both agree conceptually that I can create an Easter that will go through beyond. But what is the intent of the person who's making the neder? So Rav and Shmuel say that whether the person says Nechasim Elu or Nechasai, his intent is the prohibition should continue on even after it's no longer my property. And Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish say, with Nechasim Elu, we're on the same page with you. But with Nechasai, that's when it's my property is prohibited. It's not my property. All bets are off. That's what they're saying. Okay. Who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I said so far? If he says specifically this will continue on, you mean you don't mean after Shemitah, you mean during Shemitah, right? Then they would definitely agree. But that's the way we're holding right now. But when he doesn't say that. He just says Nechasai. Okay? What's up, Josh?
Why is it like this? So, for example, I would have thought that you wouldn't be able to answer on anything that is, like, why is it still that you can, like, answer something that is within, like, your property when it's Shemitah and it's no longer your property? Like, how can you say these properties are prohibited to you when, even if it's your property or just these properties in charge of, are now Shemitah?
Right. So the answer I would say, first you could say that right. So Shemitah, you know, we already spoke about when things are hefker, it's not hefker in the normal sense of the word. It's like a limited hefker. So it's not like you're totally mufka from ownership with the hefza. That's the first thing I would say. And the second item, we said that we see in halacha, you know, like that a person can create isurim, you know, even after it leaves his rishus. We saw it like the person, you know, the person with his estate. He says, this is an aster on you. He's not alive anymore. So he can create isurim even after he's not longer alive. Okay, we're dealing with, it's a different system. It's the halakhic system. Okay, now let's go back in the Gemara. Okay, everybody good? Okay, now. Okay, now on line 6 on Membeis Amud Beis. Now, we said that according to the way our working pshat with this machloket is that Rav and Shmuel hold, there's no difference between whether a person says Nechasim Elu or Nechasai, the prohibition will continue on. So the Gemara says, does anybody hold that there's no difference between those two lashonot? But then, you learn a Mishnah later on Daf Mem Vav, Ha'omer L'Chaveiro, if somebody says, Shimon says to Reuven, it's interesting, this is Chaveiro, his friend, but he says, Konam l'tof beitcha shani nechnas. He says, it should be prohibited like a konam, like a korban, I'm not going to go into your house. Sadecha shani lokeach, or your field that I'm not going to purchase it. He says, Meit o shemecharo la'acher, if Reuven was the owner of the house, Reuven was the owner of the field, and Shimon makes his neder, and then Reuven is Beshur ben Gevorin. He says, or he sells to somebody else, Mutar. So then all bets are off. The Mishnah says, Mefurash, that if the person said, Konam Konam Becha Shani Nechas. Your house is like a korban to me. Your house is like poison to me. And then the person dies or sells a house, all bets are off. That's what Mishnah says. One second, that's right. It's not Becha. That's the Mishnah says Mefurash that way. And he says, Sarcha Shani Lokeach, or your field is like prohibited to me for me to purchase it. And then the person sells it to somebody else. It's like lawn goods, mutar. But if Shimon says, Labayit Zesh Ani Nechnas, he says, he makes an eder, this house is prohibited to me like a korban. Sadazush Ani Lokeach, this field that, you know, in terms of me purchasing it is like off the radar, made Oshbachor Lacher Asur. So it's prohibited. So we see that this idea between whether it's Nechasai or Nechasim Elu is in the Mishnah. So everybody makes a chiluk between those two. So now we're running into problems. What then is the machloket, if any, between Rav and Reb Shmuel and Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish? So Ella, we know Ella means like, now it's a sea change again, delete everything we learned up till now. Ella, ki amri Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish ben Chasai, Rav Shmuel ben Chasim Elu velo pligi. The Gemara says there is no machloket between Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. They're each talking about a different case. In other words, everybody agrees that if a person says Nechasim Elu, continues. Everybody agrees if I say Nechasai, it does not continue. So when Rav and Shmuel said the prohibition continues on, they're talking about a case where the person said Nechasim Elu. These properties are prohibited. And when Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish were saying no, it terminates, they were talking about Nechasai. But there is no machloket between the both of them. So everybody agrees on all the soto. So the Mishnah makes sense now. And the Mishnah, we can explain the way we did originally when I did the Mishnah. And that's the way it's coming out. So in the end of the day, it's coming out that everybody agrees that a person, the Easter could continue on if a person says the Chasim Elu. And everybody agrees if a person says the Chasai, that it terminates. Okay? All right. So any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? I don't know. You repeat it. What?
So if the guy dies, no more.
So no. It, again, it depends what the person said. Right. No. If he says my house is prohibited to you, then he dies, and all bets are off. All bets are off.
This house.
Right. Right. That's 100% correct. Okay, let me just bring it up to Mike a little bit. Okay, so the Gemara in the Maskana says there's no machlok between Rav Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish. Everybody agrees that the person says these properties are prohibited, then the Isur continues on. If a person says Nechasai, my properties are prohibited, then everybody agrees that it's not his property anymore, it doesn't continue on. That's the basic idea with that. Right, no, that's right. Okay. Although,
in the blue art scroll, it says, according to the run, if he says Nechasai Elu, because he specified Elu, that also.
Right, so the run, right, that right. Okay, the run, I didn't want to get into this, but the run says that there's another language. If a person says Elu and Nechasai, that's like Nechasim Elu. Okay, but let me leave that part out, okay, Daniel? All right, now, let me go further in the Gemara. All right, now we said in the Mishnah that if Shimon makes his neder, that Reuven, let's say in the Shemitah year, Shimon makes his neder that that Reuven can't get hana from his property, so he can't go into the field, but he can eat from the branches that are hanging over the border lines that he can access. So the Gemara is bothered, why can he eat the fruit, but he can't enter the field? So back, we went through this several times, but we'll go over again now. But the Chasim Elul says, "By shvi'in yiritos le'ukulei, shemashna to ochel and anotod." He says, "Why is it that the person can eat the fruit from the overhanging branches over the borders of the field? In other words, so he accesses the fruit from a different piece of property." He says, "The peyrei the hefker inon." He says, "Because the peyrot are hefker." So even though Shimon asserted, you know, his property on Reuven, but now it's Hefker, so all bets are off. He says, Aranami Afkura, but the land is also Hefker. So the Gemara here has two answers. Amar Ula, for Omdin Ilanot, Alagulin. So Ula says we're talking about trees that are along the borderline of the property. So we discussed already that even for a person that's not subject to a neder, if he doesn't have to go into the person's property, he should not go into the person's property. It's a limited hefker with the property. So if the only way for me to access the fruit is to go on the property, I can go on your property. But if I can access the fruit without going on the property, I can't go on your property. Here, it's more compounded because he's mudar hana'ah. So he's talking about a situation like that. So certainly, since he can access the fruit from outside the property, certainly he should not go on the property. That's the first answer. Rabbi Shimon al Yakim Amar, Zera Shem Yashev Amida. Shimon Yakim says that it could be even the trees that are in the middle of the property, but we're afraid that if he goes onto the property, he'll stay. In other words, technically, he could go onto the property. In other words, technically speaking, he's allowed to go on the property and access the fruit. But we're afraid if he goes onto the property, if he stays too long, in other words, he can only go onto the property the amount of time it takes him to get the fruit. Everybody's like that. Everybody should scram. But with this person, he's going to be over a neder if he doesn't scram. So if he takes the fruit and he says, you know what, it's so nice here, I'm going to sit down and enjoy the scenery for a few minutes. So now he's over on his neder. So that's what it is. It's Zirud Rabbanan that he shouldn't do that. Okay? No, again, everyone should scram, but everyone who doesn't scram is not subject to violating a neder. The Xera is not for everybody. In other words, everybody else, this is the halakha. We hope you'll do observe the halakha. But with this guy, this Xera Drabanan, with this neder, that we're afraid you're going to stuck around too long, and then it's going to be a problem. Let's do a little round on this, and then we'll go on. Let's do 1 second, Shonson. Okay, let me do 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Ula ba'omdin ilanot al ha'gvulim. He says, in achinami v'lkodi lanot shve'emsa sadeh mutarli reid l'tocha. So according to Ula, indeed, if the trees are in the middle of the field, he's allowed to enter. Amar l'kodi lanot sh'omdin l'gvulim lo. But if the trees are on the border, he has no heter to go into the field. Rachmana lo afkra la'ara il'lkot peyrotel. In other words, the only hefker is if you need to gather the fruit that way. Since he can access the fruit without going on the field, he shouldn't do that. So again, Ula holds that in Achinami, if the tree's in the middle of the field, he could go into the field and collect the fruit. But the Mishnah is talking about trees that are on the border. So there he should not access the land. But if the trees are in the middle of the field, he could access it. But Rav Shimon Eliakim says, even if the trees are in the middle of the field, he should not access it. L'tocha. Then he didn't repeat a share, even though Mitzara didn't allow, the Arad Rachmana Afkara, Mishum Gzeira Astur, because of Gzeira, the Rabbani is prohibited. The Afakav, the Hachik, the Zrina, Shimon Shebamida, even though here, the Rabbani is Gzeira, he may stay too long standing around. L'la'el Gabi Chola, Lo Gazar Shmuel, Shimon Yashab Yeshiva. Right, on Shabbos we spoke about this with the Chola, that Shmuel said that he can stand when he visits a sick person, but he can't sit, because he might stay sick or sit around past the time when he's Mavaka the Chola. Bamina lo Gazar, but over there we're not Gozer Bamina. Dimkin Litzar Lebakro Afilu Omei. So the question is, how come over there we let him stand to be Mavaka Chola? Here we don't even let him stand. So when a person's babaka chola, I would sit down. Now I'm sitting, so I remember I can only stick around on the biker cholim, then I got a bolt. What hacker does he have here? Everybody's standing when they collect the fruit. Okay, let me do the next mission tomorrow. Then we'll talk some Torah out, and then that'll be it. Okay? Okay, now 3 lines from the bottom. I'm in Bays. Everybody with me, 42B. Manitin, Hamudar Hana Mechaveiro. So again, our same situation where Shimon makes a neder, the Reuben is not allowed to get any Hana from him. Lo Yashilenu. So Shimon should not loan anything to Reuven. That I understand. Lo Yishal Mimenu. But Shimon cannot borrow from Reuven, and we don't understand this yet. Lo Yalvenu. Shimon should not loan money to Reuven. Lo Yalven Mimenu. And Shimon should not borrow money from Reuven. Right, Shimon said that Reuben can't get any benefit from him. So, but it's learning the Yisurim go both ways. So Shimon can't loan things to Reuben, but he can't borrow things from Reuben. He says, Shimon can't sell something to him. We can't purchase something from him. Okay, we don't understand this Mishnah. Be patient. Okay, let's see the next line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says on the top line, 43a. So I understand Shimon cannot loan money to Reuven. That makes sense. The Kamahani, like he's giving him benefit. And the netter was that Reuven can't get any benefit from his property. That makes sense. But when it says that he, Shimon, cannot borrow money from Reuven, how is that benefiting Reuven when Shimon borrows money from Reuven? Then the Gemara says, the Gemara says, on the other hand, there is a potential hana'a that Shimon could derive from Reuven if Shimon borrows money from Reuven or if Shimon purchases from Reuven. So if you look in the the Rashi slash Mefarish, the third white line, Shlemi Levan Menu, Matsi Nam the Maimar, the Kamitani Bechai Gavna, Nunda Ozfei Maor Araot. Let's say Shimon borrows like inferior coins from Reuven, the Kamishalim Lehayach Yafo, and he pays him back with very good coins. So I remember that's like with Ephron, remember in Paisara, so Rashi says, Vayishkol Abraham Lefron and Akesef, and Rashi says he paid him like money that was acceptable everywhere. Centurions, Rashi has some expression like that. So like, so he pays him back with superior money, so he will be benefiting Reuven. So again, Reuven gave him like lousy points. He pays him back with fantastic points, but it's like and then when he buys something from listening to Rashi, let's say Reuven has something, he's been waiting 10 years to sell this thing. Nobody wants to buy it. Shimon bought it. It's like, oh, Baruch Hashem, I finally sold this coat. It's been hanging around here for 10 years. Yeah, so he could benefit from it. So that I understand. On line 4, Ella, lo yishal himenu, my kamen hani minei. But if he says that Shimon shouldn't borrow from Reuven, what hana accrues to Reuven if Shimon borrows something from him? I'm Rabbi Yossi Berchanina, don't you not do hana as he said. So Rabbi Yossi Berchanina says, we'll have to say the Mishnah is talking about not just that Shimon made a neder, that Reuven can't get hana from him, but Reuven reciprocated the Tova, and he said he made a neder that Shimon can't get hana from him. So if that's the case, then all the cases are much easier. Nobody can get hana from anybody. So that's what the Tana is saying. So then that's just teaching me the halakha. He says, Abaye Amar, Gzeira L'shol, Mishum L'hashil, B'chei B'kulu Gzeira. Abaye says, the Gzeira says we don't have to say that they made the neder from each other. In Achidami, Shimon's the only one who made the neder. But the Gzeira L'shol, in other words, Shimon shouldn't borrow from Reuven. If he borrows from Reuven, he may come to lend to Reuven. And the same thing with all the other Isurim. If he borrows money from Reuven, he may come to lend money to Reuven. If he purchases something from Reuven, so he may come to sell something to Reuven. In other words, that's the way, like, you know, quid pro quo type of thing. So that's a Zeru Rabban on all the things mentioned there. Okay? All right. Now let me do some other people. Go ahead. Say Ribbis? So no, it's not Ribbis. In other words, I'm giving the same like face value, or not face value, but like it comes up at the end, it's the same amount of money, but I'm giving him coins that are good and more people accept the coins. They can do more with these coins. It's like, I don't know, like traveler's checks or something like that, or they don't have traveler's checks anymore, but you know, like what is it? Don't leave home without it. What is it? Well, right. So, you know, now I'm giving him something that's good everywhere. But it's not Ribbis. Okay, now let me just do a few things and then that will be it for today. Now, there was a story from yesterday I meant to do. Before I get to the story from yesterday, let me just do a little bit with this and then we'll be it. Now, all right. He says, later authorities debate the issue of declaring produce ownerless during the Shemitah year. Does the produce become ownerless by virtue of Hashem's declaration? Or perhaps as the owner of the field, who must declare the produce ownerless without Hashem's playing a role in that process? So we know. Right. In other words, we know the payroll are hefker, but are they automatically hefker, like without me doing anything? Like you say, Avkata Demalka. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam is declared hefker. Or does it require my declaration? Does it require my declaration? So he says, one practical difference between these two approaches is the status of produce that grows in the field of someone who's not observant and did not declare his produce to be ownerless. If the produce becomes ownerless by Hashem's declaration, one would be permitted to take his produce. But if the owner must declare his produce ownerless, one would not be permitted to take produce from this person's field. If he's not firm, I get the feeling he wouldn't be too happy coming to him anyway. Okay, now, one of the sources that plays a role in this debate is our Gemara. The Gemara ruled that during Shemitah, one is permitted to eat fruit from the field of someone from whom he may not benefit, but he may not enter his property. That we spoke about in the Mishnah. In other words, so Shimon makes his neder, the Reuven can't get benefit from his property, and then it's the Shemitah year. So if Shimon makes his neder in the Shemitah year, we said Reuven can't go onto the property, but he could take the fruit. So he says, the Gemara ruled that during Shemitah, one is permitted to eat fruit from the field of someone with whom he may not benefit, but he may not enter his property. The distinction between the ruling to allow eating the produce but disallowing entering his property was challenged, and two resolutions to the challenge are recorded. So we gave two hesperim. One hesper was that since the trees are on the border, and so since he can access it from outside the field, he has to do that. But the other shot was we're afraid it'll be there too long. So the Maharid cited a version of the Gemara with trees. Now, Gemara, the way our Gemara reads, the Gemara says, the land is also hefker. That's what the Gemara says. So the Ma'arid cited a version of the Gemara which reads, Aranami Rachmana Afkara. So the Ma'arid had a girsa that the Ribbono Shel Olam declared hefker. Land is also declared owners by Hashem, and accordingly demonstrates that Hashem makes the property owners during Shemitah year. Save for Pada Shulchan, the Pada Shulchan was the Talmud of the Gra, and he made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. There are two people. There's Rabbi Yisrael of Shlav and Rabbi Hillel of Shlav. I think it's Rabbi Yisrael of Shlav. So Rabbi Yisrael of Shlav, he wrote this Sefer, Parash Shulchan. The Tamil Grah got to Eretz Yisrael, and he wrote a din, a halachot, about the din of Eretz Yisrael, rejects this proof based on our version of where it reads, Ara Nami Afkar, land is ownerless due to the declaration of the owner. So it depends on the Girsa and the Gemara. But then the Sheva Levi, that's Rabbi Shmuel Vosner, he demonstrated from our Gemara, the Parash becomes ownerless by Hashem without input from the owner. Listen to his proof. The owner states, the Gemara states, that if one made a vow prohibiting his friend from benefiting from his property during Shemitah, the produce is permitted. Since the vow does not take effect on ownerless property, then he may not enter the owner's field. So if Shimon makes an neder in Shemitah year, Reuven can access the fruit, So now it means if he's able to. Now, if one accepted the premise that the produce is ownerless only when declared so by the owner, it's possible it's about to take effect even on the produce. In other words, the Gemara takes it as a given. If it's in the Shemitah year and he makes an eder, the fruit is definitely hefker. But he says, but if he doesn't make the declaration, so it's not true. That would happen when the owner did not declare the produce ownerless when he made the vow during the Shemitah year. This concludes Sheva Levi's conclusive proof that it's Hashem that makes the produce ownerless. In other words, since the Gemara says, absolutely, he makes an eder in the Shemitah year, nevertheless, Reuven is permitted to have the fruit, because the fruit was already ownerless at the time of the neder, sounds like under all circumstances, the fruit is ownerless. Okay, now let me just do a story from yesterday, because I meant to do it yesterday and we didn't have a chance. So this was yesterday's daf. We've never mentioned the Shvatecha, Amdu Ayom Kiyachol Avadecha. Remember, we said that when a person, like the time comes, so anybody can knock the person off because the din is there already. So on the other hand, if one's time has not come, judgment and salvation protect the person. A survivor described her experiences after the Holocaust. There was a great shortage of manpower in Germany, since all the men were in the army. Posing as a Polish farm girl, as a Jewish woman, I worked on a farm in a German village on the Elbe. One morning while working in the barn, I heard a shot, dog snarling, voices yelling, lauf, lauf, hund, run, run, dog. I ran out to see what was happening. I could not believe what I saw. Were these men human beings, emaciated and she's passing herself as Polish. Emaciated in tattered striped uniforms, barefoot, bent, shuffling, they looked like puppets. One heap on the ground was the poor soul who had been shot. He had stumbled. The corpse was kicked aside and the line straightened again. Above all the din and uproar, I heard, or did I imagine it, the words pitifully moan, Wasser, Wasser, water, water. I rushed back to the barn, grabbed a pail of water for this suffering human being. I was immediately arrested and dragged to the Gestapo prison. I was locked in with other criminals with no way to escape. When they took me in, I knew it was the end for me. Would I be tortured before I was hanged or shot? If that were to be, I would join my beloved family. On the other hand, I wanted to live. As the door was forced open, I said what I thought was the last Shema Yisrael. But it was not. The soldiers were Russians. I yelled, Ich bin eine Jude, Jude, Jude. Ich bin nicht eine Deutsche. I'm a Jew, I'm not a German. I was sobbing, I was hysterical. My head was bowed, fear gripped me. I was trembling. What did fate have in store for me? I raised my head. He was a Russian officer. What did you say, my child? Looking up, I said, I'm Jewish. I was crying. He was crying too when he said, so am I. A Sina Glaxstein story is recorded in Yolena Malinger's and Flares of Memory, Stories of Childhood During the Holocaust. Okay, that's it tonight. Okay, I'll see you all. Bye-bye. Let me end the recording. 1 second. So let me get over here.
I'm not appreciating it. I'm just...